Jesus enters Jerusalem in humility, and this is the classic Christian hymn on humility. It is the words to a song. It is contained in the letter to the Philippians. So imagine that these words were sung by the early church. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is a hymn of Christ's humility. And Jesus humbled himself. It says here the first humbling was just to become human. Imagine the God of the universe deciding to become human, to become human flesh. The unlimited God who could be everywhere at any time, then in the person of Jesus becomes limited to a human body and all that that entails. So the person of Jesus, while in the human flesh, says he does not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. He won't take advantage of that, but rather he empties himself. He shows the nature of God by emptying himself. Takes the form of a slave, is found in human likeness, born in human form, and humbles himself. And certainly the entrance into Jerusalem was an act of humility. He comes and he gets a little donkey, one that's never been ridden on before. Now, I grew up on a farm, and I'll tell you right now, you don't ride something that's never been ridden before. All right? You got to spend a lot of time with those little things, because if you just get on it and expect to go down in a crowd, it probably will not go well. But Jesus is the Lord of the universe, and if he wants to sit on a donkey that's never been ridden on before, more power to him. But I wouldn't have done it. And can you imagine him bouncing along, feet dragging? It's not exactly a noble position, is it? It's not something where we look at that and we go, "Ooh, that's impressive." No, not at all. It's almost a bit of street theater, isn't it? It's comic. It's tragedy. It's making fun of the powers. It's a mockery. It's not a white horse he's riding. A donkey. Now, Christ does this, though, because He's saying something very important. He is acting humbly, and he wants to bring universal peace. So he's acting humbly to bring universal peace. And he sets this up by this entrance into Jerusalem. He sets it up very carefully so all things are in place to fulfill the scripture that is spoken of the Messiah in Zechariah 9. And in Zechariah 9, it speaks there of the Messiah coming into Jerusalem. And it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion." Zion is another name for Jerusalem. "Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, but humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And then it says what he'll accomplish. "He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." This is one of the only passages about the Messiah that speaks of peace being done by destroying the implements of war. All the implements of war are destroyed by the Messiah. There's no war horse, there's no battle bow, there's all these things are done away with. And so Jesus is very carefully saying what kind of Messiah he is, because they expected a Messiah who would take the sword and lead people into battle. But instead, Jesus is saying, "I'm the Messiah who does away with the implements of war. I destroy them. I make them no longer needed. I am the Messiah who's like the one who enters on a donkey." And so, he will bring universal peace, which means then, he refuses to bring peace by domination. Refuses to do that. Notice when Jesus enters Jerusalem, he does not carry a sword, he doesn't have a knife, he doesn't have a spear. None of his followers have any of those things. Instead, they have palm branches. Now, they can cut you, but it's not what they're for, is it? No. We wave them, throw them down, signs of victory. The donkey walks over them. It's amazing. Sign of peace and refusing to bring peace by domination. Have you noticed how often violence is in movies and our television shows? And what's the usual answer to be? Almost always, there's some act of violence in a movie or a television show, and it's an injustice, all right? And once that injustice happens, how's it solved? It's usually solved, and just notice this. All the movies you watch, all the television shows you watch, how's it usually answered? Usually you answer the violence with another act of violence. And that act of violence overcomes the other act, and then things are mostly all well. We call that the myth of redemptive violence. That violence against violence will bring peace. And maybe that can happen in some respects, but let's not call it Christian. It's not Christian. Jesus rides a donkey, not a war horse. He refuses to use domination. He doesn't call down the angels to wipe out his enemies when he's on the cross. Now, the devil wanted him to do that, but he refuses to do it. Instead, what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Suffering love. How often in movies, when you watch them and there's an act of violence, do they solve the act of violence by talking? Negotiation. By an act of love. An act of forgiveness. How often does that happen in movies? It's pretty scarce, isn't it? You get kids who bully each other in school, and what do they figure out how to do? Well, we'll embarrass that other person. We'll demean that other person. We'll have violence against the bully. Very seldom do these folks talk. Do they talk? And so it becomes revenge. Revenge is one of the most often seen themes in movies these days. What's it teaching our youth? What's it teaching our whole world? And so, Jesus chooses to bring peace by suffering love. What is the cross? The cross was a tool of the Roman Empire to incite fear in people. And it was done as a form of execution, public, to then say to everyone else, we have power, you don't. If you come against us, this is what will happen to you. We will kill you. That's what the cross was about. The Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, was built on violence. We have more power than you. Therefore, we'll bring peace by our strong arm. And then what's Jesus do with the cross? He absorbs the violence, shows it for what it is, receives the torture, becomes the suffering servant who dies for the sake of all the people. You remember Caiaphas, the high priest, what he said about Jesus? He says, this guy is inciting the people to rebellion. Let's kill him. It's better that one person die for the nation than the nation die. And so, that's what happens. They kill Jesus for the sake of the nation, which is interesting. Because it's exactly what Jesus does. He dies for the sake of the nations. He dies for them to save us from sin, to save us from ourselves, to save us from our violence. He brings peace by suffering love. So then, This Christian hymn says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, what we take this usually to mean is that I need to be humble. And that's true. I do need to be humble. I do not need to think I'm better than everybody else or that I'm always right. We like to be right, don't we? But we usually have only a partial view of things. We need to be aware of that we are not God. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But I want you to know that word you is plural. We usually think of it as singular. My mind. It's not what Scripture's saying. It's saying in all of us. Let the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be in all of us together. Everyone. The church is to be humble. It is to be the alternative community to the ways of the world. The ways of the world may use violence, but the church is called to be different. It's called to be different. It's radical. It's called to suffering love. It's called to forgive. It's called to absorb violence, not to use it. And that's our calling. Isn't it so radical and isn't it so needed today? Because it seems to me that violence never ends. I hit you, you hit me, well then I got to hit you back. It just keeps going and going and going. And we think that some final act of violence will solve and bring peace in the world. But it never, ever does. And so Christianity may be the only thing that's not tried. And it's not even tried by the church. We want to take up violence to protect ourselves. We go to this myth of redemptive violence instead of the cross and asking that suffering love. When it says take up the cross, it means we need to be willing to die for following Jesus. Oh, may it be so. May it be so.